question for you. What kind of battles do you have in your life at the moment? Obviously, we're kind of in lockdown, and some of us got battles going on at home, and maybe within ourselves. I just want to show you a short clip about battles that someone else has at home. Thank you, Darren. Is that anybody's experience over lockdown, or is that experience that some of you have had in the past? Because we do face battles every day, but maybe some of them are a bit more serious for us, because in this time, life is hard. And maybe you have battles emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. This week, we're going to continue in our series about the names of God. And I've been given the name Jehovah Maussei, and you've probably never heard of that. When I was given the title Jehovah Maussei, now I'd never heard of that either. So I needed to go to the Bible, and I needed to look it up. And it's actually found in Exodus 15 and verses 1 and 2. It says this: when Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord, I will sing to the Lord, for he is exalted. The Lord, the horse and its rider has been hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. And so it says, the Lord is my strength. And it's a word that we see in the Old Testament probably about 90 times. But this phrase is, the Lord is my strength, Maussei. And we need to kind of focus on that today. Because what I believe is, in the battles we face, that God can be our strength. Now, if we want to kind of see the context of what's happening, we need to go back a few chapters into the book of Exodus. Because what was happening was, if we go right to the start of Exodus, we know that the Israelites had been in Israel 430 years. Joseph settled there with his family, and 430 years had passed. And we come to the book of Exodus, and where the pharaohs had obviously died, and nobody really knew about the Israelites, what they were doing in the land of Goshen. And so the pharaoh decided, actually, these people, we need to put them to work. These people need to become our slaves. And so they became enslaved, and Pharaoh made them work really hard. And so what God did, he sent a man called Moses. And Moses was born and left in the bulrushes. He was an Israelite, but he was found by Pharaoh's daughter, taken into the palace and raised in the palace. But deep down, he always knew that actually he was an Israelite. And one day he got involved in an altercation between an Egyptian and an Israelite, and basically he killed the Egyptian. And at that point he had to run for his life, and he ran. He went to Midian, where he settled. He became a shepherd, and there for 80 years he was in the desert, in the wilderness, looking after sheep. And then at that point God calls him and says, go back, you need to go back and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. He had been called to be the savior of Israel. And so he goes back and he warns Pharaoh, and there's plague after plague after plague. And the last plague is the death of the firstborn. And we see that what happens is, at that point, the Egyptians let the Israelites go. And they leave the land, they take loads of stuff with them, and they go out into the desert. And at that point, Pharaoh changes his mind and says, right, you guys, let's go after the Israelites, let's bring them back. And so what happens is the Israelites get to the Red Sea. The Egyptians are chasing them. And Moses basically is told by God to strike the water. He strikes the water and the river parts. And they cross over probably about 18 miles. They had to travel across the river. The water was banked up on either side. And the Israelites cross. And the Egyptians are behind them. And as the Egyptians come up, Moses and the Israelites get to the other side. He strikes the river again, and the waters wash away, literally wash away the Egyptians and drowns them all. And what happens is in chapter 15, Moses and the Israelites sing this song. And it starts by saying, "The Lord is my strength." And it goes on to exalt God in his greatness and all that he has done. You see, the Israelites were involved in a battle and they saw God's victory. And to that, we all say amen. But I wonder what your battle is like. What are the things that you are battling in your life? And the truth is, as Christians, we battle more things, don't we? Because God has given us the Holy Spirit. And he is like a super conscience that when we come across things, we kind of know deep within there are things that we shouldn't be doing, or there's feelings we shouldn't be having. And so we have these battles within us. But it's interesting, isn't it? In lockdown, we maybe have discovered more battles. Maybe as you're locked in, you're not going out to work. You don't have that sense of self-esteem because your job has been limited, or you're on furlough and you're not fulfilling that sense of what you are called and made to do. Perhaps you battle uncertainty. You're someone who is very planful. You know what you want to do in the future, and all of a sudden everything is up in the air. Maybe you just have a sense of feeling low, even a sense of depression. And you're battling these thoughts that kind of bring you down. Maybe it's fear, perhaps anxiety, or maybe in your heart you're actually really angry about what's happening. Or maybe you're struggling with temptation. There are things that you feel that you want to do, but you know they're wrong, and you battle that temptation. I think for me, one of the battles I have is just sheer frustration of kind of not being able to do those things I want to do. I want to get out and minister to people and see people. And at the moment, that's a real frustration. It is a kind of battle I have. But you know, the Bible says that we all face battles as Christians. And it describes those battles in three areas. Firstly, it describes the fact that we battle against the world. And I don't mean the kind of the dirt and the rock that we live on, but we battle against the philosophies that are around us. There is ungodly thinking within our world. We need to think about humanism and that sense of self-determination. We think how that links into atheism, that, you know, man is kind of the ultimate being and we don't need God anymore. What about materialism? That is rife within the West, isn't it? That we believe if we own more stuff, we are going to be so much more happier. That sense of hedonism, with just seeking pleasure and self-gratification. What about racism and nationalism? All these things are worldly things, the thinking of the world. And Jesus kind of warned against it. He says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eyes and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." That's found in 1 John 2:15 to 17. But we also battle against the flesh, the things that we feel we want to do. And we have a kind of internal battle going on, of the good things we know we should do and the things that we know are wrong, and within us we battle. Even though Apostle Paul wrote about this, he says in Galatians, he says, "I see another work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members." Sorry, that's Romans 7. It says in Galatians 5, "For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature." They are in conflict with each other. And we know that as Christians. We battle the flesh. Things like greed and lust and selfishness, anger, bitterness, hatred. Those kind of things can so easily be within us. And then the Bible says, thirdly, we battle the devil. And Ephesians 6 talks about how we have to put on the full armor of God to stand against the devil's schemes. The devil just wants to destroy us and kill us. He wants to destroy the church. And he wants to make your life a misery. And so surely we face this battle. We know it goes on. Interesting, Jesus in the Lord's Prayer says, deliver us from evil. Or in some versions says, deliver us from the evil one. So we are in a battle for our minds, for our hearts, for our desires, for our very being. And so God wants us to be strong, because the Lord is and should be our strength. It's interesting, last week we talked about how the Lord is my shepherd. And this week is talking about the Lord is my strength. This is personal. So the question you probably have this morning is, okay, well, I understand what you're saying. You've talked about the world, the flesh and the devil. You know I battle with things, Will. How can you help me? Well, what we need to do is we need to get very practical. And there are three things I want to talk this morning about. How do we know God's strength? The first thing is we need to accept our weakness. The problem with so many of us is that we are so self-contained and independent. We have this sense, you know, I can do this. We can solve our own problems. We can overcome. We kind of have a Bob the Builder kind of theology, don't we? You know, we can fix it. And how many of us, maybe men especially, really rely on God? Craig Groeschel wrote a brilliant book called The Christian Atheist. And he was talking about how very often as Christians, we live like there is no God. And yet the truth is we need God, because we cannot do things on our own. And we find that's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12. He talks about how when we are weak, we can become strong. He says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. This is the thorn in the flesh that he had. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardship, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And that is the key. When we are weak, when we accept that we are weak, then we can be strong. But the truth is, we are so independent. And, you know, I see that within me. And probably the worst times are when I'm trying to do DIY. You know that from all that I've said, I am a DIY disaster. My wife says I am DI dyslexic. And so it's interesting, isn't it, that, you know, when I'm doing DIY, I really am out of my comfort zone. And what I find is that my wife lovingly and caringly comes to me and says, Will, I would really like to help you. And at that point, I always find myself saying, no, I can do this, knowing full well that actually I am really struggling and making a real bodge of what I'm doing. But she always offers me help. And I always graciously say, no, because actually my pride is at stake. And I feel I should be able to cope. But the truth is, I'm not good at DIY. And I should accept all the help I can get. You see, my head says yes, but my heart says no. And I just wanted to encourage you this morning. You know, sometimes we just need to kind of lay down our burdens. We need to give up and say, God, I can't do this. We need to positively acknowledge the greatness of God and also acknowledge our weakness and our need for help. Lord, I can't do this anymore. I can't overcome. I am losing the battle. I really need you. Secondly, I want to talk about how we just need to ask God for his strength. It's really that simple. We accept our weakness. We say to God, I need you. And secondly, we ask our God for his strength. I was listening to Francis Chan this week talking about how so often as Christians, we are weak. But when we read the Bible, we see so many stories of people who had the strength of God. People like David, who went out and fought Goliath. People like Elijah, who stood on a mountain against 350 prophets of Baal. And there he stood alone. But you see, what had happened is that David and Elijah and Gideon and Joshua, we can name them all, can't we? They actually asked God for his help, and he promised to help them. We need to go back to what the Bible says, that there is a God who is for us and able to help us. He's the almighty God. He is the creator. He is the sustainer. He is the maker of heaven and earth. He is the King of glory. He is the sovereign Lord. He is the great God, the most high God. He is the Prince of Peace. He is our healer. He is the unchanging Father. He is the promise keeper. He's the forgiver of our souls. Surely we need to go to God and we ask God for his help. And we see that so many times. The Psalms are full of occasions where the psalmist says, "The Lord is my strength." Psalm 18, verse 2, Psalm 27, verse 1, Psalm 28, verse 7. They go on and on and on, talking about the greatness of our God and the fact that he is able to strengthen us. I think one verse that has been very real for me and helpful to me is found in Isaiah 41, verse 10. He says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." What a great promise. Because God is able to strengthen us. I wonder if you really believe that. That God is able to help you with the problems and battles you have. That maybe that problem of lust, that problem of anger that kind of burns within you. Maybe a problem of envy or jealousy. Perhaps it's unforgiveness. Maybe there's an addiction that you battle with. And we need to realize that God is able to help us. We obviously did the prayer course recently, and there was a great statement that talked about how great God is. And it said this: God is not a kindly old uncle, but an earthquake. And I love that. I think that's just so powerful. It says in Ephesians 3, verse 16, it says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being." What a great prayer that Paul prayed, but what a wonderful verse, because we know that God can strengthen us in our inner being. As we were praying at the start of the service, I was thinking about, I was just kind of praying. God gave me a picture of a rope and kind of reminded me of days gone by when I was a young man. And as a church, we used to go to events, inter-church events. And we used to play football. We used to play netball. We did all kinds of sports. And one of those sports was the tug of war. And I remember that, you know, we, on these occasions, we would pull in the people who weren't very sporting, who were quite large. I won't give you any names or anything like that, but they were the large people in our church. And they would be put at the back. They would kind of, you know, be at the back of the rope, and the rest of us would pull mad, quite mad, and they would just kind of dig their heels in. And they would just be, you know, like anchor man, who would hopefully anchor the team. And I just want to encourage you that today, I think God wants to say that he is your anchor man. And actually with him, you will be able to stand fast. You'll be able to win that battle that you go through. The other thing from that picture is, of course, that tug of war is not just a one-man thing, it's a team sport. And maybe for some of you, what you need is you need other people to stand with you in the battles you face. Maybe you need to ask them to kind of help you through what you're going through at this time, to be honest with them. So we need to accept our weaknesses. We need to ask for God's strength. Thirdly, I just want to say that we need to act on his direction. See, God's strength is for people so that they can actually serve him. If we think about those stories I just mentioned, you think about Moses and David and Elijah and Joshua and Gideon, what they had in common was that they stepped out for God. They acted on God's direction and impulse. And when they did, they knew the strength of God in their life. And we see that as Moses was on the edge of the Red Sea. He put his staff down, did what God did, asked him to do. And the waters parted. David stepped out onto a battlefield to face a giant. and God gave him the strength to overcome. Joshua took the promised land because God promised his strength. And so what we need to do is we need to realize that God will strengthen us when we step out. That happened on the day of Pentecost. The disciples were in the upper room. The Spirit came and he strengthened them, and they stepped out from the upper room and they spoke the word of God. And we see that so much in the book of Acts, that they preached at Pentecost because they were stepping out in the strength of God. They prayed for a lame man who was healed because they stepped out in the power of God. They preached to the Sanhedrin because of the power of God. I was reflecting on the film 1917. It's obviously in the cinema, and now it's kind of out on the different streaming networks. And we're just kind of sitting there watching this film and just thinking, you know, it's a great film. It kind of, you really get engaged with it. But actually, I think to myself, do you know, I don't need any courage to watch this. I'm sat in a city, or I was sat in a cinema with Tracy. And, you know, we don't need any courage to watch this, do we? But then you think of the story itself. Those men in 1917 who had to actually get out of the trench and go over the top, knowing that that their life could be kind of ended in seconds. See, they needed real courage. But for me, I then didn't need any courage because I was just sitting watching. And it made me think, actually, you know, we don't really need God's strength if we're not going to do anything for God, do we? We don't need God's strength when we constantly give in to temptation, when we're not really living for God, when we don't obey God's call, when we're not speaking out for him. We don't need God's strength. We need God's strength when we resist the devil, when we speak truth and love to others, when we are living fully for God. We need his strength. And I want to encourage you today, firstly, to start by obeying God's call. There's some great stuff written by Ashley this week that went out on Facebook through Emma and kind of to the church through email. And one of them was about dreaming dreams. And it kind of lists people who've done some great things for God and within the church as well. And really, they needed God's strength because they stepped out for him. We need to step out for God. We need to keep going. We need to persevere. And for some of us, we need to see it through. There's a lovely verse found in Deuteronomy 11. It says this: "Therefore, be careful to obey every command I'm giving you today, so you may have strength to go in and take over the land you are about to enter." See, that talks about obeying the command. If you obey the command, you will receive the strength. And I think there's a tremendous truth there. We don't need God's strength if we're doing nothing for God, but if we're going to step up and step out for him, we will need his strength. So this morning, I just want to encourage you. I want you, firstly, to maybe think about your life and perhaps acknowledge your weaknesses and bring them to God. Don't be ashamed. God knows you. He knows where you are weak, and he knows where you're strong. And secondly, we just want you to call on him and ask for his strength, because the promise is found in Scripture time and time again. God has given us the Holy Spirit. He is the one who strengthens us. We've read recently in Acts 1 verse 8, says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." And that promise was true for the disciples, but it's true for us today. And then I want you to consider, where does God want me to step out? Where does he want me to act upon his word? I was looking in the book of Joshua. Joshua is one of my favorite characters in the Old Testament. How God called him to take over from Moses, and how he led the people into the promised land, and they took the promised land. And in Joshua 23, it says this. It says, the Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to stand against you. One of you routs 1,000, because the Lord your God fights for you, just as he promised. And for me, that's a fantastic and a very powerful picture of the power of God within his people. We can do extraordinary things with God and with his strength. We can win the battles that rage within us emotionally, mentally, and spiritually if the Lord is our strength. And my prayer for you today is that as you've kind of listened to this message, that in your life that you would know the strength of God and you would see his victory. So let's accept our weaknesses. Let's ask God for his strength. And let's step out for him. Let's pray together, shall we? Father God, I thank you for this morning, that those words are true. Jehovah Mu'uzai, that you can be and are our strength. The Lord is my strength. And I want to pray, Father, this morning that we would see and experience your power within our lives. Lord, take our weaknesses, turn them into strength. Lord, as we ask you for strength, we pray that your Holy Spirit would come upon us now and fill us afresh. And Lord, I want to pray this morning we would have that confidence in you, that through Christ we can do all things. And we pray too, Lord, that you would give us a courage and a boldness, that we might stand for you, we might step out, we might step up into what you have for us. Father God, be our strength. And we ask it now in the mighty and the holy name of Jesus. Amen.